The following is a class on the Srimad Bhagavatam, 10th Canto, Chapter Number 60, Text Number 36, given by His Grace, Sriman Sankarshan Dasatikari, recorded on June 1st, 2013, in Phoenix, Mauritius.
Translation and purport. Your movements, inscrutable even for sages who relish the honey of your lotus feet, are certainly incomprehensible for human beings who behave like animals. And just as your activities are transcendental, O all-powerful Lord, so too are those of your followers. Purport of Srila Prabhupada, by the followers of Srila Prabhupada. Here, Queen Rukmini replies to Lord Krishna's statement in text 13. Ashpashta vartmananam pumsam aloka patam yusham astita padaveng sa bru praya siddhanti yoshita. O fine-browed lady, women are usually destined to suffer when they stay with men whose behavior is uncertain and who pursue a path not approved by society. In the present verse, Rukmini is taking the term aloka patam to mean unworldly path. Those who are entangled in worldly behavior are trying to enjoy this world more or less like animals. Even if such people are culturally advanced, quote-unquote, they should simply be considered sophisticated or polished animals. Srimati Rukmini Devi points out that because the Lord's activities are always transcendental, they are ashpashta or unclear to ordinary people, and even to sages trying to know the Lord cannot perfectly understand these activities. Another one of those wonderful Bhagavatam verses. Your movements, inscrutable even for sages who relish the honey of your lotus feet, are certainly incomprehensible for human beings who behave like animals. And just as your activities are transcendental, O all-powerful Lord, so too are those of your followers. So these two sentences here both are loaded, packed with meaning, deep significance. We'll look at the first sentence of the verse first. The activities of Krishna, the movements of Krishna, the pastimes of Krishna. If even inscrutable to the sages, they are certainly incomprehensible to the human beings who behave like animals. So, that is modern-day society. It is simply animalistic society. This is described in Bhagavatam. Shvavidvara ushtra karai sangshtatak parishak pashu najatta karma pato peto jatu nama gadagrajaha. Those men who are like dogs, hogs, camels, and asses, praise those men who do not listen to the transcendental pastimes of Lord Sri Krishna, the deliverer from all evils. So, Prabhupada explains in his lecture on this verse. When the dogs, hogs, camels, and asses go to vote, who will they vote for? Who will the dogs vote for? A big dog. Who will the hogs vote for? A big hog. The camels, they will vote for a big camel, and the asses, they will vote for a big ass. You see? So, when you have men of this caliber, dogs, hogs, camels, and asses, electing the government leaders, you can expect nothing but big dogs, hogs, camels, and asses running the governments of the world. You see? There was even one popular song back in the 60s called At the Zoo, describing how all the different members of the society were different animals at the zoo. Looking at the human society is like going to a zoo. You see? Well, here you have this type of animal. It's all so many varieties of animals. Called, it's a popular song called At the Zoo, describing the human society. So what can they understand of Krishna? They say that Krishna is immoral because he is enjoying so many women. Isn't it? These dogs, hogs, camels, and asses. But who is the actual proprietor? Sarva Loka Maheshwaram. Who is the immoral person? You are, because you're thinking she's your wife. Actually, every woman is the property of Krishna. I see. Every Krishna owns everything. So one requires to hear from the great sages, the enlightened sages like Srila Prabhupada especially, to understand what is the actual position of Krishna. What are his activities? What are his qualities? What are his characteristics? What are his inconceivable, innumerable attributes? In last night's lecture, Namahat and Salfarina, we raised one point. That how from the material point of view, this chanting of Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna, Hare Hare, Hare Rama, Hare Rama, Rama Rama, Hare Hare, is certainly boring from a material viewpoint. Because here we are saying the same thing hour after hour, day after day, week after week, year after year, decade after decade, the exact same Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna, Hare Hare, Hare Rama, Rama Rama, Hare Hare. So why are we not bored? It would seem quite boring. If I told you, you have to sing Mary Had a Little Lamb for the next 10,000 years. Mary had a little lamb, you see. You go, what? Are you crazy? You see? So why are we going on chanting like this, you see? Well, I explain in my lecture that actually this is not simply some word. This is Krishna himself. The Hare Krishna mantra is Krishna himself, along with his brother, along with his consort, Srimati Radharani, you see? And even Krishna alone, he has inconceivable, innumerable attributes. If we were to meditate even on one of Krishna's attributes, and we were to go deeper, 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 deeper into that even one attribute, we could taste unlimited, ever-increasing nectar for all of eternity, just from one attribute. But Krishna has unlimited attributes. So actually, there is no question of boredom in chanting Hare Krishna. If you want to know where the real boredom is, material sense gratification. That's the boredom. In fact, material sense gratification is unbearably, intolerably, unbelievably, incomprehensibly boring. Actually. And there is unlimited rust in this Hare Krishna, Hare Krishna. But the karmi, he is too blind to see this. He cannot understand. He's too blind. He's trapped by Maya Devi into thinking he can enjoy. But there's no enjoyment to be had. Is there any enjoyment to be had in material sense gratification? You've been fasting all day, and well, now it's time for the feast. And I say, well, just send your kurta down for the feast. You remain fasting, but you send your kurta down for the feast. You can dip your sleeve in the sweet rice. Fill your pockets with halava. Just let your kurta enjoy the feast. Will you be satisfied? We fill your pockets with halava, but your belly remains empty. No. To be satisfied, you have to take the prasadam, not just your kurta, your shirt. You see? So this body is kurta only. It's not the self. To satisfy this body means we do not become satisfied. You understand? We do not become satisfied by satisfying this body. Therefore, there is no happiness in sense gratification whatsoever. It is simply called mayasukaya, illusory happiness. There is absolutely zero happiness in sense gratification. So we should take hint from Bhagavatam and understand how to relish the nectar of existence. If you want to relish the nectar of existence, we have to come to what is our actual existence. If you want to remain in the realm of asat, you will taste no ananda. It's not possible. Asat means nirananda, no happiness. You want actual ananda, you must come to the platform of sat, the actual eternal nature of the self, you see. And what is that nature? Jivara Sarupahai, Krishnara Nityadas. The constitutional position of the living entity is he is the eternal servant of Krishna. If one comes to this position, he can taste unlimited happiness. He doesn't need any external paraphernalia even. Simply by connecting with his nature that I am the eternal servant of Krishna, he becomes greatly satisfied and happy. Brahma Bhuta Prasanatmana Sochati Nakangshati Samaksraveshu Bhuteshu Madbhaktim Labhate Param. He becomes completely satisfied, you see, simply by being cognizant of his actual identity as the eternal servant of Sri Krishna. That amazing Krishna. Such an amazing person. I mean, really amazing. Nobody can play now in this world. We're very attracted by this musician or that musician, isn't it? He plays a good guitar, he plays a good drum, you know. Wow, really attractive. But there is no musician like Krishna. He plays the flute in such an amazing way that even the animals are spellbound. Everyone, when Krishna plays his flute, everybody is completely carried away in transcendental ecstasy. Not just some of the people, but every single living entity in Vraj goes completely intoxicated when Krishna plays that flute. You see, Venum Kvanantam Aravinda Dalaya Taksam Barhav Vitam Nasitam Buddhasundarangam Kandarpa Koti Kamaniya Vishesha Shobam Govindam Adipurusham Tamaham Vajami. I worship Govinda, the primeval Lord, who is the most expert flute player in all of existence. He has blooming eyes like lotus petals, not eyes like our eyes. You see, they get cataracts. He has blooming eyes like lotus petals. You can imagine lotus petal eyes. Just imagine you've looked in somebody's eyes and they're just like lotus petals. That is Krishna, you see. Beautiful lotus petal eyes, you see. Blooming eyes, and his head is decked with a peacock feather. He's decked out with a peacock feather, you see. He has the figure of beauty tinged with the hue of dark blue rain clouds. And his unique loveliness is so astoundingly amazing that it's attracting millions of cupids. You see, just imagine if such a person walked into the room. How beautiful, how amazing he would be. He's standing right behind the curtain. That Krishna, you see, he's so beautiful, unbelievably beautiful. Chintamani prakarasadma sukalpa viksha lakshavrate shushurabir rabipalayantam Lakshmi sahasrashatasam ramasev yamanam Govindam adipurusham tamaham vajami. I worship Govinda, the primeval Lord. He's the first progenitor. Everything comes from him. He's the original progenitor. He's tending the cows and abodes made out of what? Spiritual gems. Can you imagine going to an abode that's made out of gems? Here we have a bunch of sand, and I think this is... Yeah, what is Mauritius made out of? Isn't it from volcanic ash? Huh? Yeah. Jai, Shri Radha Goloka Nandaki, Jai. Here we have an abode made out of volcanic ash. The ash from volcano, you see? But just imagine going to an abode which is composed of spiritual gems, like rubies and sapphires and emeralds. The whole place is made of gems. You can imagine what a place that would be. Surrounded by millions of kalpa vriksha trees. Can you imagine? Here we have some scrubby old trees. Just imagine going to a place where every tree is a kalpa vriksha tree. That whatever you desire, the tree will give you. If you want mango, it will give you. If you want lychee fruit, it will give you lychee fruit. If you want papaya, apple, peach, whatever you want. Even if it's, you can take anything from the Govinda vriksha tree. A new dhoti, whatever you want. The kalpa vriksha just gives you see. Just imagine such a place. And that's the abode of Krishna. Is it? That's the abode of Krishna. And he's always served with great reverence and affection by hundreds and thousands of Lakshmis or gopis. That's an amazing person. There's no superstar in history which comes close to Krishna. There are many, many superstars, but they come and go like the change of the seasons. Is it? Where are they now? Where is John Lennon now? He has vanished into oblivion. Where is Napoleon? Is he? Where is Caruso, the famous opera singer now? He may be a cricket chirping in the woods. Is he? Where are all these superstars? They're finished. Is he? But Krishna, he goes on as the supreme superstar. He never loses his fame. He never loses his glory. He never becomes old and wrinkled and requires a facelift. Krishna is ever beautiful, Navi Yovanam, an ever fresh youth. So, if Krishna is so inscrutable, incomprehensible, how will we ever realize Krishna? What is our hope? We're practically like animals ourselves. We're trying to become devotees, dressed up in our dhotis and saris, but practically, what's the difference? We're still attracted by this material nature. What is the hope for us? You see? That's Prabhupada's mercy. Prabhupada kripa. By the mercy of Prabhupada, there is hope for us, you see. By the mercy of these great pure devotees, there is hope for us how to come out of the illusion of material existence. Prabhupada has given us very nice verse from Rupa Goswami. Atakshi Krishna Namadi Nadbhavad Grayam Indriyai Sevon Muke Hijivado Svayam Eva Spadat Yadaha. It is absolutely impossible to realize the transcendental name, fame, form, pastimes, entourage, dham, qualities, teachings, etc., of the unlimited Supreme Personality of Godhead with your dull, blunt material senses addicted to sense gratification. Not possible. You cannot do it, you see. But if one becomes spiritualized, Krishnized by engaging his senses in the service of the master of the senses, Rishikesha, beginning with which sense? Jivado, this tongue. You see, beginning with the tongue. Then you can actually realize the transcendental name, fame, forms, pastimes, entourage, paraphernalia, dham, teachings, etc., 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 etc. That amazing Krishna who is standing right here on the altar here. In Phoenix, Mauritius. See? And he's also standing on the bank of the Jamuna, attracting all the gopis to dance the rasa dance. You see, that same Krishna, he can be understood and fully realized. Prabhupada told us on December 25th, 1973 in Los Angeles, that if we actually become devotees, that we can see Krishna. Tansantak sadaiva, we can see Krishna. Sadaiva means that every minute, at every minute we can see Krishna. We can dance with Krishna, we can talk with Krishna, we can eat with Krishna, Prabhupada said. He said everything. You simply have to develop the eyes of love, you see. So Krishna is waiting when we will develop the eyes of love, you see. He is waiting. How long will you sleep in the lap of the Maya witch, you see, bewitched by the material energy? How long we will remain there, you see. We have the opportunity now, by the mercy of Prabhupada and the wonderful followers of Prabhupada, we have the opportunity to get out of this sleep, to come out of this delusion of material suffering and come to the actual transcendental platform, where we can associate directly with God, face to face, eye to eye. Actually, Prabhupada told me when I was a young brahmachari, we're talking way back in 1972, I used to write Prabhupada so many letters and asking so many questions because I wanted to hear it straight from Prabhupada. I was skeptical. Are these devotees telling me the truth, or are they telling me some rumor? Because actually Prabhupada confirmed. He said, there are so many false things in ISKCON that Prabhupada said this and Prabhupada said that. A letter Prabhupada wrote. So I wanted to make sure, because we heard so many things like, you know, Prabhu, you can only have 7 chickpeas or you'll fall down and have illicit sex. You know, we heard things like this floating around ISKCON. If you ate chickpeas, Prabhu, you're finished. You'll fall into mind. If you have 8 chickpeas, and it was counted at the breakfast, Prabhu, can I have more chickpeas? No, you had your 7 chickpeas and that's it. Am I serious? That's what we used. That was 1972. That's how things went on in ISKCON, I remember. So I'm a little skeptical about all these Prabhupada says, you know. So I would write Prabhupada and ask him different questions because I wanted to make sure I was getting the right answer. And when I first joined, any disciple could write Prabhupada. That was the policy. It was an open door. Any disciple could write Prabhupada a letter. But then Prabhupada changed the policy because he was getting so much mail. He didn't have any time to do his translations. Because the movement was growing, starting to grow. This was 72, actually 70, late 71. It was starting to get pretty big. And so anyway, I had already written Prabhupada when it was okay to write him. And now we were told we're not allowed to. And I went, oh my God. I was addicted to being able to write Prabhupada. I felt that need. I have to be able to ask my spiritual master these questions. And so I took a chance and I wrote another letter to Prabhupada. I did not put my name on the return address so they wouldn't know who it was coming from, hoping it would get through the security. Yeah, but sure enough, it got through and Prabhupada wrote me back. And he advised me to ask your temple president, ask your GBC, ask the sannyasis, etc., instead of writing me. But then he said, so mercifully, he said, but if there's an urgent need, I'm always happy to hear from my beloved disciples. So I had my loophole. Prabhupada gave me a loophole for the policy. He gave me an exemption. He actually gave everyone an exemption, but I was the one who was told about it directly by Prabhupada. That if there's an urgent need, you don't have to worry about the policy. Just write me directly and I'll answer you. Prabhupada was so kind. But then he gave me a little hint. Because he saw I was asking so many questions. I was a very inquisitive type of brahmachari, you see. He said, if you will engage with 24 hours a day in the service of Krishna with full sincerity of attitude, then Krishna will personally come to you and answer all of your questions. Wow. Krishna will personally come and answer all of my questions. Wow, that's amazing. So that is possible, that actually one can become qualified, that Krishna will personally come. But we have to develop love. As long as we have envy of Krishna, why you get to be the supreme? Why not me? Do you think Krishna will come? If we have any envy of him, do you think he will come? Nope, he won't come. He will give his maya instead, you see. But if we become completely free of all envy of Krishna, completely non-envious devotees of the Lord, totally 100% clean, envy clean, then Krishna will reveal himself. You personally come, we can answer all of our questions, whatever we want. Krishna prepared to come. So now, speaking of questions, I have some questions coming. I'll answer them. As a householder, how does he practically deal with his wife as the property of Krishna? By not having illicit sex. It's very simple. Don't have illicit sex. Follow the rules that Prabhupada gave us. Sex only once in a month. If you want to have kids, otherwise, brahmachari. Then you're seeing her as the property of Krishna. If a devotee commits suicide, does he become a ghost? Yes. Don't commit suicide. We always try to please Krishna, but we are not aware that Krishna is pleased. At times, we even rush to do something with Krishna due to a lack of time. Can you kindly guide us on how to better serve Krishna? Krishna, we know Krishna is pleased when our spiritual master is pleased. And we know our spiritual master is pleased when our temple authorities are pleased. Prabhupada told us that. So that, if you want to please Krishna, please the devotees. You say you're representatives of Krishna. How to better serve Krishna? One thing is we should always try to serve Krishna better and better and better. We should never think, now I am serving Krishna well enough. We should always understand, I am not serving Krishna properly enough, well enough. I need to be a better servant. Should always feel deficient. I am not the best possible servant that I can be. I must now become a better servant. Always be in that mood. You're doing everything better. Don't get in a rut. Yeah, I'm a well-respected devotee around ISKCON. I've got it made now. I may be the temple president. They may be GBC. They may be a guru. Now I've got it made. No. You see. Always feel your service is not sufficient, and always try to do a better job, and Krishna will help you. He'll give you the intelligence how to do a better job. Whatever you're doing, whether you're sewing, whether you're distributing books, whether you're raising a family, earning money, whatever you're doing for Krishna, sincerely try to do it better and better in his service, and he will give you intelligence how to make it even better. How can a blind person change something? Can't read that one. See, but number two. Chant the holy name of the Lord and engage himself. This handwriting is a little unclear for me. Last December, during your visit, you said that due to legalized abortion in Mauritius, everything will become worse. The recent flooding in Mauritius really shocked us. What should we do now? Well, the only you can, if you want to, thing is, no matter what's happening around you, just try to become Krishna conscious, because whether we have a good government or a bad government or an in-between government, the threefold miseries are still going to happen. Of course, they'll be worse if we have a bad government. They won't be as bad if we have a mediocre government. If we have pure devotees running the country, they'll still be the threefold miseries, or they won't be as intense. The miseries are always going to be there no matter what. So the first thing you have to do to protect yourself is become Krishna conscious. Become Krishna conscious. rise above the modes of material nature. Fully absorb yourself in Krishna consciousness 24 hours a day. That'll put you in the best possible position to do something to make the atmosphere of this country and of indeed the entire planet Earth more auspicious. As far as the governments go, we have to elect, because it's the days of democracy, we have to educate the people through Sankirtan, book distribution, Harinam, Prasad distribution. We have to educate the people to vote for Krishna conscious leaders. That's what we have to do. You can't do it by other means. They will not be successful. We have to educate the people through book distribution and Harinam to vote for Krishna conscious leaders. You know, then they'll become devotees. If they will vote for devotees in the voting place, you see, then we can put a stop to these nonsense things that are going on in this world, like slaughterhouses and abortion clinics. So let me see if I can figure this one out. How can a blind person change? Looks like P-U-T-O, Puto. Change. I can't. Who wrote this? I need better handwriting. Okay. How can a blind person, Karmi, change the same word? P, what is it? P? Looks like P-U-K-O, Puko. Into. What is this Puko?
Into.
Huh?
Changing into.
Into.
Change into.
Oh, into. Oh, your eye, you put a curve on your eye, like it's like a P. Okay. All right. Thank you. Changed into or be engaged in spiritual activities. Well, that applies to us, doesn't it? How can a blind person, I can think, well, I'm pretty blind, change? It's by the mercy of the spiritual master. I mean, I can't imagine anybody can be more blind than I was, you see. But by the mercy of the spiritual master and by the devotees of ISKCON, you see, by association. What does Krishna say in Bhagavad Gita, chapter 2, text number 62? Sangat sanjayate kama. One's consciousness is developed according to his association. So the key is, first of all, we have to become Krishna conscious by associating with advanced devotees. We have to become Krishna conscious. And then if we are Krishna conscious, then we can give our association to others, and we also help them associate with the others in our movement who are more advanced than us by giving people this contact, the association of ourselves and other devotees. By that association, they will become Krishna conscious. That is the key. That's why the second step on the path of pure bhakti is called sadhu sangha. The first step is one has to have faith in the process. The second step is sadhu sangha. One becomes eager to associate with devotees, you see. And by that sadhu sangha, what is the next step? Bhajana kriya. You see, well, this devotee is doing this. He's bowing down when he enters the temple room. He's putting tilak on the nose. You see, he's only taking prasadam. He's giving up illicit sex, meat-eating, intoxication, and gambling. Oh, let me do that also, you see. Then you, by practicing this, then you come to the higher stage, bhajana kriya. And then through this bhajana kriya, then gradually all that dirt, that lust, the anger, the greed, the madness, the illusion, the envy that's completely contaminated the consciousness for millions and billions of lifetimes, that becomes gradually washed away. And then when it's fully washed away, it's called anartha nivritti, and then you become nishta, solidly fixed in transcendental Krishna consciousness. Fixed up devotee, as Prabhupada used to say. Does that answer your question? Yes? Okay. Any other questions? Okay, the questions have come to the end. That means it's time to end the class. And we thank you all very, very much for your participation in Prabhupada's movement, ISKCON, the International Society for Krishna Consciousness. Take your participation in the movement very seriously, that I must take the mercy of Prabhupada and the followers of Prabhupada and cleanse my heart of all this dirt accumulated for millions and billions of lifetimes and become the pure devotee of Krishna as soon as possible. Thank you very much. Srila Prabhupada ki jai. Grantharaj Srimad Bhagavatam ki jai.
His Grace Shankar Shandasa Adhikari Maharaj ki jai.